Welcome back to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruryak. More now of our civics lesson. Let's take a look at bonding. This is a way for cities, school districts, and other entities to raise money, which sounds simple enough, but the topic can be complicated, confusing, and political. In June of 2019, we talked with Patrick Murphy. He's Policy Director of Fiscal and Governance Reform and a Senior Fellow at PPIC, the Public Policy Institute of California. We started our conversation with a bit of a primer on bonding.
It's borrowing money, in this case, government borrowing money. And the individual analogy is the home mortgage, student loans. Sometimes people borrow for cars. I mean, all of those sort of big investments where you don't have the money right then, where you're going to have to go to someplace else to see if they'll lend you the money, and then you're going to have to pay it back with interest over time.
So where does that pot of money come from typically? What would be the norm?
Basically, if a government has gotten the authority to go out and borrow, they will issue bonds. They get the help of someone who will underwrite them, a lot of times one of the investment banks or Goldman Sachs type entity. And they put together a package and then they put it out there for investors. And those investors can vary from individuals who like to have municipal bonds as part of one of the things that's in their portfolio. A lot of times we'll see it much more of institutions. So things like retirement funds, pensions, public pensions could invest in them as well. Insurance companies like them. They're very stable typically. They don't return as much interest, but at the same time, you know that over the life of that investment, a lot of times 30 years, you're going to get that return.
I'll stay with the home mortgage comparison. Is a term 15 years, 30 years? Is the rate adjustable on a bond at times?
Yes to all of it. The time length could be different depending on the application. 30 years is a real common one. Variable rates are one possibility. You can also have it fixed. And then again, sticking with the analogy, you can also refinance them, right? A government could go out and agree to pay back the money at 4% interest and interest rates go down. And given the size of it, it might make sense to go out and issue new bonds at a lower rate, pay off the old ones. So that same comparison still holds.
In purchasing a house, pick a number. A house can be a few hundred thousand. It could be many millions. So what about a municipal bond? Is there a typical kind of range for an amount that a bond will be, or is it as wide-ranging as a home mortgage might be?
I would almost say even more so. Let's just take school districts. There's a school district on the coast just north of San Francisco that has fewer than 200 kids. They might go out and borrow $1 million to make some improvements on their buildings. LA Unified will go out and borrow hundreds of millions of dollars, and we can have everything in between.
When people are asked to vote for a bond goes before a community. Do you think they're likely to vote for it? Is it a concept that people are hesitant about? And how informed does your research say people are about bonds and bonding?
So I can speak from PPIC research on people's attitudes towards bonds, which generally, and when we ask the question, it's often put as for this particular purpose, and a lot of times education is one of them, but we can talk about water, etc. Generally, people are predisposed, especially if you ask, are you supporting a bond for fill in the blank, water infrastructure, improving schools, improving higher ed? Now, the interesting thing is when we also ask Californians about taxes, we generally get, if you will, the opposite. It's tougher to get a majority of people to support that. Some research that others have done have found out that when you put in, are you in favor of a bond, and then explain in the rest of the question what it is that the bond is, which is borrowing money, which is going to have to be paid back over time, etc., you'll not be surprised to know support goes down. It goes down kind of on average, depending on the way it's structured, about 5%. That suggests to me that people aren't real informed. They see bond and they somehow think it's kind of magic money. That just comes to the government and, oh, that must be a good thing. We really want to have that new building built or that infrastructure invested in.
Patrick, will you explain when voter approval is required for bonding? Because that's not always the case.
At what time does a government have to go to the voters to get permission to borrow money? That's what's really happening, right? That could be quite a low number for a small entity. You don't want to take the Los Angeles extreme case, them having to go borrow, say, $1 million to smooth out their cash flow. That's kind of small potatoes in that structure. Whereas if they want to go out and borrow tens of millions of dollars to build something, yes, then they have to go to the voters. Different jurisdictions will vary. We have different thresholds in California. In some cases, you could borrow money with a simple majority vote. Schools and community colleges know to borrow. We lowered that threshold to 55%, and we saw actually quite a big jump when we did that in terms of districts going out and asking the voters for approval and voters meeting that 55% threshold. And then a lot of cases, it's a two-thirds majority.
Why are bonds a popular choice? Why are they special or different?
The simple thing is, in the same way that we as individuals want to or need to borrow or feel like we want to borrow money, we don't have the big chunk of money now and we have the need now. So we want to invest in the house or we want to invest in the college education. Municipalities are similar. They see it as if we can invest the money now, we'll get a return, be that sort of good things for our citizens, or in some cases actually a return in the idea of economic growth, that over time it's going to, in a sense, generate more economic activity, we'll have more sales tax, and that'll be good for the city. From investor standpoint, I should note, there's the attraction of the fact that most of the time, much of the time, tax exempt, which enables them to be priced a little bit lower. So it's cheaper money for the municipality. Why? Because federal government's given them this tax break to the investor. So they won't pay taxes on the money they make on the interest side of it.
Let's get to how a bond is paid back.
Usually a schedule will be set up when the bond is issued. It can vary again. A lot of times you'll see for governments, maybe twice a year payments, but it can be structured, as you can imagine, if you've ever gone out to look at mortgages and been completely overwhelmed by all these variations, the bond world is not much different. When the bond is put out there to investors to invest in, it'll be explicit in terms of what the expectations, where the money's going to come from. And that could range from what are referred to as general obligation bonds, general money coming in to the, say, in the case of a school district, just the money that comes in terms of revenue, the money that they get from property taxes, the money they get from the state of California. You could also sort of tie that revenue to a certain stream of taxes, say a special tax you've put out, and say from now on that money that comes in on that special tax first will pay off the bond. It's almost like if you were to borrow money yourself and then take on a part-time job and say, okay, the money that I get from that part-time job is going to go just to that and try to sort of dedicate that stream of revenue. We do have some cases where governments will do things like build a parking ramp and then say all the money that we get by having people pay for the parking is going to go to that.
Right. So some of this is the future gamble. That future gamble, just like with a home mortgage, is what will my payments be and how likely am I able to meet them? There's no getting around this aspect of bonding, is there?
No. I mean, you are going to have to take a look at your expectations, you being the borrower, in terms of your own, for lack of a better term, cash flow, right? Money coming in. If you feel like that is optimistic, you may be more aggressive in how much you borrow. In other words, how big your payments are going to be going back to the people you borrow it from. Again, not to beat it too much, but on the mortgage, do you buy the house that's a real stretch? That means that a bigger chunk of your pay that you have today is going to go to pay down that mortgage. Or do you sort of dial it back a little bit and be a little bit more conservative and say, well, that's a mortgage payment I can handle, and therefore I'm going to go with that and I won't be lying there staring at the ceiling at night.
But what happens if an entity, a municipality, makes a gamble that fails? They end up short of revenue, they can't pay back the full interest, or the group goes bankrupt. What then?
First, I'd start with the fact that a municipal bond's defaults are really rare. They do happen, but we're talking probably less than 1%. So in the finance world, very rare, which is why investors like them, right? Very safe. When that does happen, it will depend on the kind of agreement, the way the money was borrowed. A lot of times, particularly to make it attractive to investors, the debt holders are in line first. And a lot of times they will get settled with in some way, shape, or form. And that could be, look, you're going to have to cut back operating expenses. In other words, lay people off, but we're still going to get our money. Kind of extreme case, you could actually sell off assets that the government entity has, the equivalent of a city selling off land that the firehouse is on, or a school selling off part of their land to pay it. Very extreme, very rare. But that's in the same way, again, that your house is the security for the person you borrowed money from. If you can't make the payments, at least they can get their money back out of the house.
And just to complete that, are there some examples that somehow PPIC has been involved in working on in municipalities having trouble paying back a bond. There's cities in our region that have been in this situation.
Probably the limit case is the Orange County bankruptcy of now several years ago, which involved both a lot of various financial factors that went into it. But essentially, then you have a similar thing where you're going to have to take a step back, figure out what money you have, and figure out a timing in which people are going to get paid back.
All right, so let me wrap us all the way back around. Why is it mysterious? Why does it become controversial?
Where the controversy comes, your vision, if you will, of what the benefits are going to be down the road to a city or school district, et cetera, versus my vision. And I may sort of say, wait a second, I just don't buy it. I don't believe what you say is going to happen. In other words, we're going to make this investment and these very positive things will go and flow from it. It's kind of your, if you will, cost-benefit analysis versus mine. And since neither of us, at least I don't, Beth, you might have a crystal ball hidden over there.
Nope.
And so we don't know what the future is going to hold. Mm-hmm. And that's really that key variable that makes this. Neither of us can convince the other, right? What we're saying is, well, my projections say this, and it's based on these assumptions. And you can also counter that with some that might come to completely opposite decision.
Well, Patrick, I know it is a little dry, it is a little wonky, but because it comes up and there's this sort of assumption that, oh, bonds, bonding, yeah, we all know what that's all about. We thought it was worthwhile to spend a little bit of time going step by step through it, because most cities, most school districts, as you said, most entities are at some point going to go to a voter and ask the question, and maybe we help someone understand it a little bit better today.
I hope so, Beth. It's something that, you know, if you can't tell, I do get excited about. I'm a nerd, I admit it, but I'm sitting, you know, your listeners can't see me, but I'm waving my hands. It is an important topic, and it involves a lot of money.
That was my conversation with Patrick Murphy in June of 2019. He's Policy Director of Fiscal and Governance Reform and a Senior Fellow at the Public Policy Institute of California. The Civics Lesson continues on Insight on Cap Radio.